You know where your business would be without you. Imagine where it could go with more of you. Well, with Wix, you can create a website with more of your vision, your voice, your expertise. Wix gives you the freedom to truly own your brand and do it on your own, with full customization and advanced AI tools that help turn your ideas into reality. Scale up without being held back by cookie-cutter solutions and grow your business into your online brand. Because without you, your business is just business as usual. Take control. Go to Wix.com.
The last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
We have Pádraig Tobin, the leader of N2, with us in a second, but we're going to start with Gabia Gatafkatechia for the political correspondent of the Irish Independent, because you at the weekend broke the story of the scanner in the National Gallery. Tell us a little bit about how much it cost and why it's not in use, please.
Hi, Matt. So basically, this X-ray was purchased by the National Gallery of Ireland back in the year 2017, so about 8 years ago now. And the intention behind it, I suppose, was so that artworks could be analysed without being destructed in any way or interfered with in any way. So it was an X-ray machine, but it has not been used since then. So for about 8 years, it's been lying idle. Now, the National Gallery, I suppose they bought this system and the intention with it, because it has this radioactive part in it, this iode that makes it work essentially, you need to be in a lead lined room for it to be installed and then operated. And being put very simply, the gallery did not have such a room as its disposal. There was one room that was being looked at, but because it would have to be lead lined, there was concerns over the weights and the weight that the room would be able to support. So the OPW, of course, of its own €330,000 bike shed fame, which was revealed last summer, was trying to help the gallery in accommodating this system, this X-ray machine. Not much luck, and up till now it has not been used. Now, the gallery is looking at an option where it would see a mobile unit being put on site. It's working in conjunction with the Environmental Protection Agency, and it would allow for the X-ray to be operated safely in that sense. But it's interesting because the actual X-ray is still in the gallery. It's not being used, but the radioactive element is still with the supplier from which the gallery bought the X-ray from over in London. Radioactive element, yes.
Just checking this.
Yeah.
Had they not sussed out the room in which this could be put with a radioactive element before they went ahead and purchased the scanner?
Well, you'd think so. I mean, in fairness, we don't know the entire full details of what happened around the scanner, because they're contained in the annual report from the Art Gallery. It was signed off by Cabinet this morning, and we're keenly awaiting its publication. But of course, because it is an X-ray machine, it contains that radioactive element, you do need to be careful with it, and you can't just operate it willy-nilly, if you will. It has to be done in a careful way. We know that the gallery spent over €124,000 on it, which is taxpayers' money, and it was funded through the Department of Culture, Arts and Media under the Creative Ireland Digitisation Scheme.
The reason I ask about whether they'd done the checking beforehand is I can't remember how far back it is now. We had the printer debacle in another part of government in the Oireachtas buildings. But given that then we had a printer that was too big to be installed in the room which had been set aside, you would have thought that all other departments would be aware of that, and before they committed to any capital expenditures, would just actually do something as basic as saying, do we actually have the space into which the equipment will fit or can work?
Yes, so my understanding is that it's not an issue regarding the size of the X-ray. It's literally just that the radioactive part of it has to be installed in a lead-lined room. So that's where the issue arises. Of course, it's not just your average room. It has to be lead-lined. And because they don't have a suitable room in which this can be done, that's why the system has been lying idle.
Okay, Pádraig Tobin of N2, what do you make of this?
Well, I think there's a deep frustration amongst people in relation to each and every new revelation that we have of government waste. You know, there is an anger out there that this level of incompetence is tolerated at the upper elements of the civil service in this country. Gabby's excellent has an excellent article there. There's so much, you know, to unpack from it. You know, even in at the end of our article, she talks about the gallery board is understood to be satisfied with the internal controls that they have within the system. The idea that the X-ray bulb that was part of the package has not been removed from the London location from where it was bought is still incredible. You know, digitization technology has moved on considerably in the last 8 years. You know, you'd even imagine that even if they got this operational, are they using a technology which is pretty much towards the end of its functional use? And you know,
so you mean that by the time they get to use it, it'll have become obsolete?
Well, you know, people have witnessed the speedy development of digitization technology, you know, themselves in so many elements of life. And if we're going to spend 8 or 9 years before we get something operational, it is unlikely to be at the cutting edge of operation. And like, I brought this up with the Taoiseach today in the Dáil, and, you know, to sum up, and I don't want to do him an injustice here, but like, it was basically the view was, you know, somebody else has to explain what's happening here. But the problem is that there is a toleration at senior government level at a range of different examples of waste. Like, we could fill up this whole segment with government examples of waste that's happened in the last 5 years.
Yeah, but sorry, when you mean government, do you actually blame the ministers and politicians? I mean, how are they supposed to know, for example, about the details of something like this X-ray machine inside in the National Gallery?
See, like, here's the problem, right? There's loads of people getting really well paid for oversight over what's happening in these departments. So obviously you have ministers, you have sec generals, you have, you know, often, you know, directors, chairpersons of these of the departments and the gallery itself. There's so many individuals along this chain of oversight that are getting paid, many of them well over €100,000 to actually have oversight of what's happening. Yet nobody seems to be able to have oversight of what's happening. And if you actually add up all the different elements of waste that's happened over the last 5 years, it adds to billions of euros. And
is
there's
it
a real
really
cost
billions?
To this. It is. Well, first of all, if you look at the National Children's Hospital, that's gone from €700 million to €2.5 billion. Now, we've been tracking the number of payouts that's happening because of adverse incidents, which are mistakes that are happening in the health service, and that's €2.5 billion in the last 10 years. And they're just two elements of, you know, aspects where there's no accountability. And at the heart of this is an accountability-free zone, which is this government, and a refusal to impose accountability. Now, what we'll have from this is we'll have a review, which will probably cost itself thousands of euros. We'll have potentially, you know, a lessons learned. But at the end of it, there will be nobody held to account. There will be nobody who will lose their job. There will be nobody who will be moved sideways even. And in reality, we'll be cursed to actually witness examples of this happening over and over again.
Gabby, what is actually happening? Because the minister now, the new minister, the man who used to be in charge of the Office of Public Works, Patrick O'Donovan, what's he up to in relation to the Arts Council?
Yes, so of course we know in recent weeks we had this another spending debacle revealed within that department, almost €7 million spent on an IT system, most of which really cannot be salvaged by the Arts Council. So Patrick O'Donovan has come back and he's now of course commissioned various reviews, both within into different agencies that receive money from his department, but also in his department itself, because of course we know now there is serious concerns amongst senior cabinet ministers around the Department of Arts, Culture and Media, because this is the third issue, if you will, around spending. We of course had RTE in recent years, then we had the Arts Council, and now we have the spending around the X-ray. Even Tánaiste to Simon Harris pointing to the department and raising questions about governance and culture there. But I will also put it in a broader light. I mean, perhaps the Department of Media has had a bad run of luck, if you will, in all these issues being exposed in recent weeks and years. But really, I mean, this is a trend that we've been seeing from the government If you look at the metro project, you know, quarter of a billion spent on it, not a shovel put into the ground. If you look at the National Children's Hospital, I mean, there's overruns in many parts, in many government departments, and we haven't really seen, you know, any major reviews, I suppose, come as a result of them.
As it happens, the Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Jack Chambers, will be here in the studio in about 20 minutes' time, so I've lots to ask him about. But for now, Gabby Gadavicheccia of the Irish Independent, political correspondent, and Padraig Tobin, leader of AIN2, thank you both very much for being with us. Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Jack Chambers, is with us, but he doesn't have a chainsaw with him. I put that to Pascal Donoghue recently, though, given that he had just come from the department that you're now in, that a lot of people might like the idea of seriously cutting costs in government spending, particularly when they look at overruns. And, you know, you have small things, but not insignificant things, about the X-ray scanner that you have in the National Gallery. But you go at the other extreme and you see the massive cost overruns in the construction of the National Children's Hospital. So what confidence can people actually have that their money is being well spent by government?
Well, first of all, you're right in saying there is huge frustration and anger amongst the public with a certain number of projects that have gone out of control. And huge frustration. People pay high taxes in Ireland and they expect value for money and better delivery of public services in return for that. And when you take the National Gallery example, the Arts Council, or indeed the National Children's Hospital, clearly value for money considerations were not at the centre of some of the decisions that were taken in the design process, or indeed in the decisions taken to spend further amounts of taxpayers' money on these projects. And as a new Minister for Public Expenditure, I'm cognizant of that, particularly when public spending has grown by 50% in the last number of years. We need to make sure the outputs reflect the increase in overall spending. And we're also in a different macroeconomic picture where we have to ensure that every cent that we spend has value for money when decisions are taken.
You see, but are there any consequences? Because we could go through a whole list of things, like, you know, sort of the Department of Finance shed or the bicycle shed, and there are countless examples of things where spending has gone over budget. Does anyone actually end up being held responsible for that? Because, yes, look, there's overspending happens in the private sector many times as well, but people tend to lose their jobs in situations like that. Is there responsibility in the public sector?
Well, when you take the, like, we're going to have Public Accounts Committee established now in the next number of weeks, and I expect some of these recent examples to have robust
conversation, debate about it, but what practical things will happen as a result?
What I'm going to do is review the policy frameworks we have in place when it comes to public financial procedure, for example, and what the level of oversight is, and what the and ensuring that the roles and responsibilities of the accounting officers, the boards, and the respective executives and state agencies have value for money at the centre of their decision making, and we need to ensure that there's absolute confidence around that. These recent examples have, in my view, necessitated a need to review public financial procedures, because they state in theory that there is value for money at the centre of them. And I think we've countless examples where, to be fair to public servants delivering capital projects, they have delivered many of them on time and on budget. And I can speak to countless schools, hospital beds, road projects where there is good delivery systems. But we do need to ensure where decisions are taken to make further allocations without reporting those overruns to government departments, or indeed to government, that there's strengthened oversight and accountability around it.
Okay. Now, there probably are examples where things have been done well, and indeed there are times when maybe the state is risk averse and doesn't spend money that it should, or delays on the implementation of projects, which ends up making them more expensive. But does that suggest that you need some sort of radical overhaul rather than just continuing to do the same thing and expecting a different outcome?
Well, that's why when you take infrastructure, for example, it's central to the future of our economy, to our growth, and to unlocking some of the opportunities in the context of energy, water, transport, housing. But that's why we're establishing a new infrastructure division in my department, and we're scoping, for example, the specialist skill set that will be involved, how we address some of those concerns that you've referenced around endless delays and a risk-averse process that sometimes results in projects not being delivered on time. And that's a process we're underway. That's underway. We're going to review the National Development Plan as well and ensure that there's raised ambition when it comes to infrastructure delivery in our economy and ensure there's international best practice in the establishment of that.
See, there's an awful lot of buzzwords there, though. I mean, I think what people want is delivery.
They do, and that's why, well, just to be absolutely clear, an infrastructure division is a substantive departure from what we had previously, ensuring that there's better oversight and removing some of the barriers. For example, like practical examples, housing is the single biggest issue in our economy. And that's why, but when you speak to people that deliver housing, there's issues where there isn't, say, for example, why Irish Water sometimes aren't delivering the necessary infrastructure on time that unlocks the housing, or a distributor road which facilitates service land, for example, with local authorities. So practical cooperation between the infrastructure side of my new department as it's being established, and also Minister Brown, who is establishing and following through on some of what the Housing Commission recommended around having an independent input into local authority delivery of housing, for example. These are practical...
Yeah, but hold on. There's something that goes back to your time in the Department of Finance as well. Last year, Irish Water got more money given to it because Irish Water had to invest in giving the complete supplies that are required to let houses be built. And yet it's been reported that the Department of Finance insisted that much of that money be used to pay down existing debt rather than actually going into the spending that was required.
No, my recollection of that is that the decision was taken not to expand their existing loan facility, but the...
So the money that was given to them wasn't actually spent, was used to pay down debt?
No, it is still helping to unlock further delivery. And one of the decisions I'll be taking now in the new National Development Plan review is to absolutely make delivery of water services and wastewater central to Irish Water's mandate. And I expect Irish Water to have a significant enhancement of its capital profile in the years to come, because I believe as an agency it can deliver with improved capital allocations, and that's central to housing delivery.
Now, towards the end of last year, there were 405,000 full-time equivalents, as is known, because you have to take part-time work into account, public service employees. That number is going to go up another 20,000 this year, up to 426,500. The highest level ever of employment in the public service. Do we need that many people?
Well, many of the people you're referencing are people working in our schools, because we've reduced the pupil-teacher ratio to get better outcomes in special education and in education in our economy. It's more nurses and doctors delivering frontline services across our country. And we want to ensure that with an expanded population, we deliver better public services. In addition to that, though, we have to invest in and that's why in the terms of the National Development Plan, digitalisation will be central to that, and we need to see a digital dividend in the context of
but you can always mention
delivery.
Necessary public servants like nurses and Gardaí and teachers and doctors. Absolutely, and nobody's going to argue.
Yep.
What I think a lot of people wonder, though, is the levels of administration and other jobs where actually are they necessary? You talk about digitisation. If we talk about the likes of AI, isn't there the opportunity to, if we properly equip ourselves, we don't need those numbers, and those numbers could actually get jobs in the private sector instead?
Well, look, I think we've an expanded state, we've higher levels of population, and that puts pressure on overall public services. We've also got, whether we like it or not, in the context of the EU and the regulatory framework we have in our country, people expect greater oversight. There's a lot of additional regulation which requires people to administer that. I take your point when it comes to health service delivery, that we have got probably, there's significant administration in pockets, which I know frustrates people when they see...
There are savings that could be delivered, and you could have much better services provided to people as well. And you could free up money to do things like effectively 24/7 service rather than being on a five-day week.
And that's why we're prioritising in the multi-annual budget that Minister Donoghue negotiated last year with Bernard Gloucester, there was a priority given to delivery of frontline healthcare in terms of the overall staffing and numbers that were...
But you see, we keep hearing about how much we learned from the economic crash of 2008 to 2011, and when we had to have the Troika come in and rescue us, and we said we will never allow ourselves to have a property crash again, and we will never allow ourselves to have a banking crash. But something else that happened at that time is that we couldn't afford the public service that we had. And when the tax revenues collapsed from property, we didn't have the money to pay all the bills. bills. Do we not have to be looking at present, having learned from that, as to the potential from losing a lot of the tax revenues, particularly that we're getting from American multinationals, and yet we're putting in place an even more expensive, bigger public service than we had at the time of the last crash?
Well, what I'd say in that is we've a much different population profile than we had a number of years ago. And secondly, we're absolutely clear in our terms of our approach to budgetary management about upholding fiscal discipline, running surpluses, establishing two funds so that we mitigate the risk that's there.
Oh, wow. Can you do that if the American tax money suddenly starts to dry up? If the tariffs that Donald Trump is talking about have a major impact on our economic links with America?
And that's why we're running a surplus. That's why we ran a surplus last year, why we want to run a surplus this year. And why we need to re-emphasise our investment in infrastructure and economy so that we can support additional and diversified economic development and that isn't solely reliant on FDI. It also why competitiveness is central to the government's approach over the next number of months and ensuring that decisions we take support innovation and enterprise in our economy. But you're correct, we need to have fiscal discipline, and that's why any evidence of waste needs to be driven out, and why I'm reviewing the overall public financial procedures so that there is value for money at the centre of decision making, and that taxpayers see that in the context of high taxes that many people pay on their income.
We leave it there because we've gone well over time. Jack Chambers, Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, thank you for joining us.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
It's time to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix gives you the power to turn your passion into a moneymaker with a website that fits your unique vision and drives you towards your goals. Let your ideas flow with AI tools that guide you, but give you full control and flexibility. Manage your business from one dashboard and keep it growing with built-in marketing features. Get everything you need to turn your part-time passion into a full-time business. Go to Wix.com.